recorded. I didn't even know. This is Comics Palooza, the only comic book podcast that is always hot to go. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
It's a comics and nerd culture podcast, and I'm your other host, Cameron. Hello.
Good evening.
Good to see you.
It's good to see
always
you.
Always good to see you. And it's also good to see our third host with the most today. Because we're not alone. We're joined by our dear old friend of this show and friend of at least one other show that we've done. Hi-Fi Mike is here with us today. Hello. Hello, Mike.
Hey, party on, Garth.
But now you must leave because you did not get the shirt memo that we
sent out. I did not. I'm wearing my pajamas.
So we're going to need you to come back in a pink shirt or nothing.
I don't even know if I own a pink shirt.
Nothing it is.
I mean, yeah, if I take my shirt off, I'm pretty pale and pink.
Well, this isn't that kind of show, Mike.
It can be.
Just imagine in your mind, all of us with our rippling pecs. We're all just basically like three Terry Crews's making our muscles dance.
I know this isn't a reference Cameron will get yet, but we're basically the muscle mice, but people.
I don't get it.
It's a Demon Slayer thing.
Okay. Do you get it, Mike?
No. I just wanted to laugh to be nice.
Okay. And all of our people who are waiting for Cameron to watch Demon Slayer, they'll get it.
I'm just at the slow beginning. You weren't wrong.
No, it's, yeah. I rewatched season one with my wife, and it wasn't so bad the second time, but it's harder to get through.
There's parts that are really good.
Yeah, there really are.
Fighting that big monster in the Wisteria Forest.
Mm-hmm.
That big demon. I guess they're demons. They're not monsters. It was really cool.
It's really exciting. Yeah.
That's close to about it though so far.
Yes, you've probably been listening, Mike, but I've been very Demon Slayer pilled.
I usually start tuning out cause I don't watch Demon Slayer. So it's in one ear out the other.
Sad.
You guys gotta watch for not tuning us out right now.
No, I can't.
He's on the call.
But all right. Well, my muscle Mike mouse joke landed with somebody.
Just nobody on the call. But somebody.
But somebody out there. I mean, it is a huge thing right now, so I'm sure there's definitely Demon Slayer fans listening.
If it landed with you, dear listener, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Come on the show.
Yeah.
Come on the show.
He's just a guest. He feels so comfortable.
Yep.
He's just inviting people to come.
I think it's just a muscle memory because you say it so often that I just want to say it.
Come on the show.
Come on the show.
Do we say it a lot on the show?
I don't know if you do. I think you did a lot on Boy Meets World Fever.
I think because the other like guest stars and like talking about actors and you know, if Batman wants to come on the show, he's welcome. But I think he's busy.
I've thought about inviting a few like guests to be on this show, and I'm like, I don't know if you read weekly comics. I don't. What would you do?
I mean, Robert Pattinson, come on the show.
I did reach out to the writer of what was it? The New Champions. He never got back to me.
Yeah, he got back to me.
I know, but you didn't ask him any questions.
Well, okay. Cameron, why don't you get us started?
All right. Yes, it is my week to go first, and I'm in a pickle.
You're in a pickle.
Because I only had three books this week, but they were all really good.
Mike, do you have books? I'm assuming.
I do. Okay. Yeah. I actually went and bought these ones this time.
Wow. How many do you have?
I started going back. I had five. I got five.
All right.
Wow.
All right. So we'll go Cameron, Mike, me for best books, and then we'll just do book blurbs.
All right. So I think I'm picking the one that I think has the most. It hit really right for this time that we're in. And it is Absolute Batman Annual number one.
That's one of mine.
One of Mike's also. And I just think it's great. I'm forgetting who our creative team is because there's like three stories in it. And so each one has a different group. I'm going to just mostly talk about the first story. It is by Daniel Warren Johnson, the writer and the artist. And I think he got in a little bit of hot water with people who really don't matter when he drew some pictures of Batman choking out ICE agents.
Oh, good. Those are the kind of people you want in hot water.
And then There was another Batman creator that I don't remember who it was, but then he drew pictures of Batman beating up Antifa. And everyone was like, you're dumb. That's really lame.
Was it the Spawn creator? What's his name? I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
This is why Google exists. Chuck Dixon.
Chuck Dixon. That's actually not who I thought it was.
I don't know. But there's like two stories and then like a little tiny vignette at the back of the book. But I really want to focus on the first one because this is like a before Absolute Batman really became Absolute Batman, like maybe his like him first coming on the scene. And I just think it is a very interesting like look at it. Plus he's like beating up a bunch of really bad people. And so that's nice too. So it starts where Batman is talking to his dad. It's like a flashback. And his dad's like reading the paper and it says like extremist bombing at the top. And his dad's like distressed about it. He's just like, this world is terrible. And I'm like doing everything that I can. I wish that I knew what to do to fix this. All I know how to do is like, I'm good at teaching. Because in this universe, Batman's dad's a teacher. And he's like, so I just have to hope that every student that I have, I make a difference in their lives. And then maybe they can be the person who makes a change. And they won't make the same mistakes as these people who are doing these bad things. And his dad's like, what about you? What are you going to do? And then it just cuts to this picture of Batman with a flamethrower and a torched, very thinly veiled Nazi-esque symbol behind him.
Yeah.
No, it's so he's
a real powerful Batman kills people.
It's a what, Mike?
I said it's a real powerful picture.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Then we cut to, this would be a little bit before that time, Batman's in a beat-up old truck, just Bruce Wayne, driving to this pawn shop, and we see there's like a, I don't know if it's like a migrant camp, or there's a lot of like maybe homeless people, and we see there's like a priest down there who's like helping them. And he's just driving by. He goes to this pawn shop and he is buying all of these weapons from this like crotchety old man. He's like, I got you like explosives, modified rubber bullets, like all this stuff, beanbags, whatever. And then Bruce is like non-lethal. And he's like less lethal. So he says that'll work. So he gives him a bunch of money. And so he gives him all the stuff. Then Batman hears that there's something going on outside. And these guys in pig masks are attacking these two, like Hispanic people. They're speaking in Spanish and they, you know, that's just a normal, like, you don't belong here. This is our town. We don't speak Spanish here. And then we just have Bruce Wayne like cleaning one of their clocks. This is a common image throughout the book, is just Bruce Wayne doing absolute terrible damage to people's faces. Like comically powerfully big punches. And they're like, you just made a big mistake. And then the guy from the pawn shop hits him over the head with a bat and takes him down. And then they're like, what are we going to do? They start kicking him. This other guy comes who's like their leader. He's like, we don't have time to worry about all of them. Is that the priest? Yeah. The priest that we saw before comes and like is laying on top of Bruce Wayne. Like, no, leave him alone. Leave him alone. And they're just like, we don't have time to do all this. And they all ride off on their motorcycles. And Bruce Wayne wakes up in the, like the house of this priest who's talking to him. He's like, I'm trying to make a difference, trying to do what I can. And he sees, Bruce Wayne sees this picture of like the priest when he was a lot younger and he's protesting. We see there's like guns in their faces and they're like, I think it's like a stop the war or stop something. But he has this picture on his mantle and like Bruce is looking at it. And then Bruce is like, well, I mean, someone's got to do something. He's talking about how this guy came in about 6 months ago, and all these young boys especially are just feeling like they got the short end of the stick. And this guy is just speaking to them exactly what they want to hear, to like basically everything you see from like the male podcaster world.
Yeah, it's a little too real, honestly.
It's very real. But then Bruce is just like, I'm going to go do something. And the priest is like, what are you going to do? He's like, well, sometimes peace isn't an option. And so then the gang all the white supremacists are there. Some police pull up and they're like, you know, we can't let you do this. And they like look at each other and then they all start laughing and they all pull their hoods on. And they just go down into the camp and they're just smashing. The main guy is like, I'm the new truth. I am the power, pure power. And they start saying white power. And then we get the, it's a very affecting image. I know I sent you
vignettes in this.
I sent you a picture of this earlier. I didn't realize that it was a full 2-page spread of Batman breaking the guy's arm as he is doing the Nazi salute. And he just like, it's a powerful image, a bit unsettling. You don't want to see bones go that way.
No.
And then Batman kicks him in the face again, just like it's big. And then he like suplexes a guy. And so Batman's just like fighting everybody. It's very,
what do you say the artist's name was?
What was it? Darren Warren Johnson. Daniel Warren Johnson. He does a good Batman. And basically Batman's just like beating everybody up very effectively. And he's really just, he's about to kill like the leader when the priest comes and he's like, you need to stop. This isn't going to fix anything. I don't know how to make it better. I only know how to make it worse, but please, this isn't the way. Like, just killing these guys isn't going to fix it. And then Bruce is like, this is my way. And then he gets an idea. And we saw in Absolute Batman that the Batmobile is like a big truck, like a one of those giant massive dump trucks that has to be like assembled on site to be able to be used like an industrial dump truck. But all the white supremacists are running back to kind of their headquarters. And they're like, we need to go. Because Bruce gets the keys to one of these trucks from the pawn shop owner. Like he just had one because there was a building company that was doing all this stuff and then left town. And so they just took it, I guess. And then everyone's like, oh, get back. And he just smashes the big truck right into their headquarters. Another big pan, like two pager. And then he just goes in and he's just like lighting them up. Literally, he's got the flamethrower. So he's like done it. He's beat them all, and the priest comes and is bandaging them up in their state of utter brokenness. And then Batman wanders off. And then we kind of get more cuts back in where he's talking to his dad, and he's like, "You did all the cool stuff when you were younger, Dad." His dad's like, "I don't know about all that." And he said, "You made a difference. Like you did something." And then a kid Bruce is like, I'm going to do that too. I'm going to be just like you. And then we see that he is looking at the same picture that the priest had. And like his dad and the priest, like were activists together, like back in the day. And we're just cutting where he's talking to his dad in the past. And it's like, I know you're going to do like great things. I don't really know what I'm doing even right now, but I know you're going to do really good things. Cause I know your nature, like you have a good heart. And all you really end up having to do is be yourself. And Batman is like looking at his hands that are all bloody from like just about killing all these guys. And so he's like, basically like his dad's like, I'm always going to be proud of you. And Batman's like, I got to figure out maybe a different way rather than just like killing everyone to like actually fix the issue. It seemed rather effective in this moment, but just like, there's like bigger, deeper issues that need to be addressed. And so he's like, kind of coming to terms with that. Cause we see still a very brutal Batman in Absolute Batman, but he's not like punching people's heads in at every turn. He's like not being very compassionate, but not just like straight up murdering people. Then we just have a second story where it's like back in like the first arc of Absolute Batman. I don't think I'm going to do a play by play of all of it. But it's really cool. Lots of action, different team working on this. James Warren is the writer and artist on it. And I think it's really dynamic, very interesting. The colors are really cool. I'm just really pops, lots of really good action. Very, very comic booky, very fun. But not a lot of like, it didn't have the same like oomph as the first story, but it was still like really, really good and fun as Batman's just fighting these gang members from the Party Animals who are like kind of the main antagonists in the first book or first arc. Then it's just really cool. And then we just have this little story at the end that's just like, here's a bunch of bat facts. And you're like, oh, these are bat facts. And then you're like, oh, these are Batman facts, actually.
I didn't even read that. It looked like an ad to me. So I didn't even I honestly didn't. When you kept saying there's three, I'm like, I know that there there's two. But then, yeah, that looked like an ad or something. So I was like, nah, I'm not reading this.
It's like, as you read it, it's like, vampire bats will frequently share their meals with other hungry bats. And then we have a picture of like Batman giving something to like a hungry person. Or bats are excellent pest controllers. And then it's like some punk and it's like, why does Batman hate me? As they're like, they're live streaming or like doing a, like a live Instagram. A single colony of bats can eat over 600 million bugs per year. And then like a news report, you know, like trafficking bust, good policing or local vigilante. And they're just showing like Batman is just like bats. And so
I think that's right. It sounds like an ad.
I mean, it did look like that, but then I was like, is this like a little preview, like at the back of like the next, some other Batman book? And it's not, it's just a little 2-page snippet of like bat facts, but Batman facts. But that was absolute Batman annual number one. I thought it was great. Very affecting, very brutal. The guy getting his arm punched in half is just, it's good. It's good, clean fun.
For the whole family.
For the whole family.
I have not, this is the first absolute Batman that I've read.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know anything about it going in, but now I am going to go, I was convinced to go start reading it by my comic book guy. And I'm going to.
You should. It's really good. So.
I think I'm going to get the trades of the three absolutes because they've been so acclaimed.
Yes. I've been reading it. This is one of the books that brought me into comics, back into it. The other one that did it, I'm also bringing today. and so.
But we'll get to that later.
I know. But so it just, it felt like a big week. With
what did you... books. What did you think of this book, Mike?
I really liked it. I like annuals. I like to pick them up because they're usually, I mean, they're self-contained. So I was already on board. But yeah, I liked the message. I thought it was great art. It was brutal. I like to see Nazis get their ass kicked. So, you know, win.
I like that it's about something. Just from what you showed me, like. One of my big problems, especially with the Marvel books I've been picking up, which I've almost exclusively got Marvel books this week, is they don't seem to be, like, about anything. Like,
that's because you're not reading Captain America.
Well, that's probably...
Which is about how bad America... America's the bad guys.
Well...
In part.
I'm more meant to just, like, the events and stuff, but... Mike, what is your best book?
All right, so my best book is Shredder, issue 2.
I almost picked up issue 1. Yeah. I was so close.
I, you know, it seems to have mixed reviews, but I like things like this. I thought it was great. I like liking one of the worst characters ever, like heels in comic book history. And he's like, I don't know, he's a badass. So it starts with him with Shredder like sharpening his claws in his like cell. Because the last issue, he was picked up by this government agency and got put into a cell. And now he has to work for them to get information to stop a bomb or a weapon or something happening by his old protege. Because he was supposed to be dead.
Me too.
So basically, the agent is talking to her boss about how he's allowed to sharpen his knives. And they don't, I'm bad at this. He's sharpening his blades. She's convincing him that it's all right. And then the boss is like, oh, well, what if he escapes? You know, you're giving him weapons. And then Shredder shows up in the room when they were just watching him on the screen. Like, if I was going to escape, I would have already. And he's like, all right, well, let's go. And he tells the agent to stay behind him, like far away from him, not to get, you know, in the way. They go to this biker bar and he basically tells the lady bartender to get King Cobra. King Cobra is supposed to be like this mutant that wears a a cobra mask to cover his face because it's hideous. He's like
same
unknown in the like he's like a big he basically power vacuum. There's a power vacuum after Shredder left, was killed. So like King Cobra came up and took that spot with his crew. Yeah, so he basically threatens the bartender. Eventually, she calls somebody. The detective decides to just walk up and start talking to Shredder. And he's like, yeah, I told you to stay away. It's for your own protection. I don't want you getting in the way, getting hurt. And basically, Shredder tells the bartender not to grab the gun she's going for. And she doesn't. And then two big guys take him, try to kick him out, and then he beats him up. He beats him up and tells them to take him to King Cobra. They go to King Cobra. The agent gets knocked out because she gets in the way. Who saw that coming? And basically the two dudes bring him to King Cobra. King Cobra shoots at Shredder. Shredder evades it just by standing there. So they're all real bad shots. And basically, King Cobra says that, you know, like I said, there's a power vacuum. Shredder should have been paying attention before. He was operating under his nose. And Shredder's like, nah, I knew you were there. And he was just waiting to use him. So King Cobra says that he has no use for Shredder. And Shredder's trying to convince him that he wants information. He essentially says, King Cobra says no. Shredder beats up all his dudes, and then tackles King Cobra. He takes off his face mask to realize that he's just a normal dude. He's not some evil-looking mutant, and King Cobra basically made up a myth of himself to scare people. The agent comes in, and he doesn't get off King Cobra. He's like, well, I am the real thing. And then he fucks up King Cobra's face with his blades and chops off his nose and mouth and all this other shit and talks about it like he's super happy about it, which is great to read. And then he gets away, like he disappears. The agent goes back, talks to her boss, and he was like, oh, I told you you'd get away. And then they look on the camera and cameras and he's back in his cell. Sharpening his blades again.
So it's just Shredder aura farming for an entire.
Yeah. Yeah. And I left out the one part, like the person that's running the Foot Clan now is his old protege that he's trying to get information about her. I believe it's a her.
Is it Karai?
I have no idea. I'll be honest.
Fair enough.
I'm just getting back into comics. So like, there's a whole bunch that I've missed. I decided to just pick Shredder up couple months ago, maybe. So I'm getting caught up. But nice. I liked it. I like seeing Shredder not attacking the turtles and kind of working for the good guy, but his own way.
Good old Shredder.
I've heard that the 12 issues of this run of Ninja Turtles has been amazing. Like,
yeah. I'll have to read it. When I pick up Ninja Turtles, I really like it. It's just, I don't know, at this point, I don't know what's what.
Yeah, you kind of just have to be okay with that in comics sometimes.
That's why I find number ones, and then I pick up, that's what, I buy a number and go from there.
That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, actually, the book I'm bringing is a little bit kind of like, I don't know what's going on, and I started on one. Now I'm on three, and I still am kind of.
I don't know what's going on.
I still kind of lost, but I'm enjoying it. So I guess I'll transition into mine.
Go ahead. I have a bad memory, so when I have to do memory recall, I'm like, oh crap.
No, you did great. The Mortal Thor issue 3. I've really been enjoying this series, just kind of a takedown of the Thor mythos, but man, I do not know what the, like, even though it's number three and technically I started with number one, I still just don't know what the what's it called when it's like,
what's the status quo?
The status quo, thank you. Of Thor, of the universe. Marvel. at the time. This book, it's pretty simple. There's like this cult. Everyone calls this dude father. And he's like, have you been a good boy? Are you happy daddy's home? Have you done your chores? And he's like, yes, we've discovered who killed those guys. So it's like,
I hate when my chores are discovering who killed those guys. Yeah. My least bit, that's every Thursday, and I hate it.
Every Thursday. But they're in these like weird suits, and they call this guy father.
No, father.
And I guess the guys that, because in issue 2, Thor bought a leather cuff and got a really big bungee cord and attached it to a broken sledgehammer that he throws with one hand and pulls back because he has no powers. And he like took out this whole biker gang, and I guess they worked for this cult, or there was like one of their members was in this gang. But either way, now they want to kill the guy who hurt their member. Thor has a dream about himself as Thor, but wakes up and doesn't really remember it. So he goes to work on a construction site. He doesn't have the paperwork he needs to fill out his I-9, though. But then the kid, who we're pretty sure is Loki, is like, no, look in your bag before you do something stupid, like give up a job. And he does have the paperwork he needs. So, oh,
thank goodness.
Nothing's better than paperwork in a comic book.
Yes, exactly. So he goes to work on a construction team. Everyone's super impressed by how strong he is, but then I guess the cult has found him and they start trank darting all of his coworkers. which trank darts are hilarious to me, but anyway. So they like trank dart all his coworkers, but he's like up building a skyscraper, so his like people don't see it for a long time. But yeah, so then they're like, oh, there he is. So they gravity boots on and they walk up the girders.
Quick question about the tranquilizer darts. Are they blowgun darts or like
they're fired out of
dart guns? What?
They're fired out of guns.
Oh, okay. Less fun, but probably more practical.
Yeah. I mean, they've got like gravity boots that allow them to walk up a vertical surface. So
yeah, it'd be silly to have a blow dart.
They are shooting all of Thor's people and they're falling. So Thor like saves most of them. I think he may save all of them. It doesn't really show, but then he opens his bag, takes out the hammer, attaches it to his leather cuff, and using his hard hat as a shield, he like proceeds to swing through the girders, like using the hammer as like a like Indiana Jones would a whip, and kicking the guys off of the building, throwing when he gets the hammer back, throwing it into their face, and that is like most of this book. Honestly, is Thor fighting these guys in the girders and like totally dominating them. At one point, Thor's hair gets shot. And I'm not sure what happens. Like, I'm honestly not. Like, at one point in
his hair gets what? Shot?
His hair gets shot. And it looks like the hair breaks and maybe bounces back and hits the guy.
That's how I read that.
It's very strange.
He deep conditions.
He's got gold locks that reflect bullets. But he ends up beating them all, and it turns out Loki's watching, watches him get arrested, and he's like, oh no, now I've got to go help him, but someone is talking like a Viking behind him, and he turns around, and this is the part that really confused me. It's Odin, who what I was aware of, Odin has been dead for the last 10 years in comics. And Thor's had the Odin force. So, but Odin is here, and he's like, you shouldn't have used that magic on those papers, Loki. It's how I found you. What are you doing to your brother? And that's the whole book. But it's really fun just to see this, like I said, stripped down version of Thor doing all these like really cool maneuvers in these girders. It's a, like everyone kind of is talking about how weird this guy is who's like, super good and justice oriented, but also like super brutal and way stronger than everybody else. And I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'm in for the mystery of it all. I want to know what's going on with Odin. I have no idea. Is this a scheme from Loki? Why does Loki seem to have like basically no powers either? And why is he seemingly like watching out for Thor? I have no idea. But I think this is a fun mystery. Like, even though I don't know everything, I'm really enjoying learning about it. So that is The Mortal Thor by Al Ewing and Pasquale Fieri?
Maybe. One of those three, probably.
Guy Fieri.
But yeah, The Mortal Thor. I had to get this variant cover because it's the only one they had. That's kind of
cool. At least Marvel doesn't charge more for variant covers.
That's true.
Sometimes they do.
I guess if they're like more premium, but for the most part, they don't.
My shop often will get some of the lesser run ones, pump up that price on release day.
Like, luckily, our shop only ever charges sticker price.
Yeah, yes. Well, he does for the most part. It's just with the variants lately, he's been probably for a while now, but he puts it up a little bit. Sometimes a couple bucks. I saw one in there that was like $50. I was like, it's a brand new book.
Oh, okay.
But hey, they got to make money. They're not making it elsewhere.
It's true.
I don't support your local comic shop, everyone.
Yeah, I mean,
if really. You can. I know sometimes you just don't have one.
Yeah, I even just buy like, because I know they have the margins up on like the bags and boards. I just buy them the sets as I go. I don't even buy bulk all the time. And
the markup is. I was watching a thing, like a YouTube like docuseries, and they were talking about how the next big frontier, like the next big like entertainment property, since like streaming services have basically ruined TV and movies. They were saying that like they think print, like bookstores and comic book shops and that, are about to have like a huge resurgence.
Yeah, I guess
in popularity. And I thought that was a really interesting take. I'm probably butchering the take, but
I think we could. I think we're also coming back around the time where, for a short time, we'll probably get some video rental stores back too.
Maybe that'd be interesting.
That'd be cool.
I know they're starting. Like LA has at least one of them. So
in about 20 years, we'll have one here in Oklahoma.
So it'll be cool enough, right?
Yeah, I guess people are tired of companies taking steps like from what I've heard on all of the episodes of what was the Selena Gomez show?
Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yes. Apparently on that show, the mom occasionally had like the slightest bit of cleavage, and I guess they like blurred it out in every episode the Disney Plus release.
I gotta get those DVDs.
I gotta see the mom cleavage.
You gotta see the cleavage.
Well, it's just such a weird, like, I don't know. It's just
very.
You know, they can AI it now, so they can just give her a different shirt.
It's just like that just exists.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not even like look at
I'm sure that cleavage was important to some child's development at the time that is now an adult, and they wanted to go back and look at that, and they don't
get
that
cleavage.
Now they can't.
It's like this was a core memory for me.
That would be like if they blurred out all the Hocus Pocus cleavage.
Is there a lot in that movie?
Oh, there's enough.
See, this seems to be the thing for Mike that he was just describing for someone else.
Right. Yeah, if they did that, I'd be very upset.
But
whatever Sarah Jessica Parker's got going on.
You know what? Bette Midler. As I get older, Bette Midler gets even better.
I don't know about any of that. All I know is they use that as an example of like weird micro changes that are being made to like twist media around.
Yuck.
Speaking of Bette Midler, I don't know where they are right now, but my wife went to an estate sale a couple, like maybe a month or a month and a half ago, and bought this like old chess set that's like pretty nice. And it like closes, like folds in half, and the pieces can all go inside, and it's like wood. And we opened it, when she brought it home, and all the pieces were there, but there was also an unopened pack of Bette Midler playing cards.
Oh my, I want those so bad. That's awesome.
You gotta send those to Mike.
It felt like a real premium find.
That is awesome.
Guys, I don't know who Bette Midler is. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I think you do.
I don't.
Everybody knows who Bette Midler is.
Did she sing Wind Beneath My Wings?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, okay. I know that song.
I mean, have you not seen Hocus Pocus?
I saw Hocus Pocus once in college, and I was like, why
did she's the main one?
She's the redheaded witch.
Okay. The main witch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The leader.
I saw the leader of the pack. Hocus Pocus 2, and it was pretty bad as well.
I liked it, but it wasn't as good as 1. I'm hoping that they fix it in 3.
We can just see whatever they put on Disney Plus when they make their little changes.
Yeah, right. And Sarah Jessica Parker's going to be wearing bigger shirts.
slouchy boyfriend hoodies.
I really think Hocus Pocus is one of those that if you didn't see it as a kid, you just don't get it.
Probably. I watched it a lot as a kid growing up, so it's a classic. I watch it every year. Now that Halloween's over, I won't watch it again until next September.
That's how we are with Home Alone.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Cameron?
I said that's how we are with Home Alone. Like, now is Home Alone time.
Yeah.
And we'll watch Home Alone and Home Alone 2. Home Alone 2 starring 34-time convicted felon Donald Trump.
And WWE Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer. Elf is one of those. A lot of those. But also, it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles season. So
that's important.
It is.
It's Groundhog Day season for me.
All right, because...
All right, Time Loop Day is coming.
Time Loop Day. There was some Time Loop stuff that I did watch recently, but I forgot all of it. So it doesn't help.
The man said his memory is bad.
Did you watch Happy Death Day, Happy Death Day to You?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are good.
I love both of them. Yep. I don't love Happy Death Day to You as much as I love Happy Death Day.
Happy Death Day is good. Yeah.
I do think Happy Death Day to You did what it could with what it had.
Yeah.
Like, becoming a sci-fi thriller more about giving up things.
Right.
I think was a better choice than like trying to redo the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't as good, but I like them both. I like to watch them both back to back.
I do as well. They're both very good. Yes, I will actually be getting back from the Czech Republic like 6 hours before Time Loop Day starts.
Nice.
What if you get stuck in a time loop the day before?
Oh, no. Not on the day I'm traveling back from the Czech Republic.
Ooh, that'd be kind of wild. You have to keep reliving the plane, like the plane ride. There's a murder that happens that you got to solve, and you just have to keep going back and forth and over again. Except there we go.
I can only solve the murder on my 2-hour layovers.
Right.
And he has to keep giving himself tattoos? No, that's a different thing. That one wasn't a time loop.
Let's do book blurbs. Right. Mike has four more?
I
did one of them.
Absolutely, yeah, he did one of them. So I have 3 more.
Okay. So
I don't want to go first.
I'll go first.
We can go Chance, Mike, me, Chance, Mike, me, Chance, Mike.
Perfect.
All right.
I am really enjoying this series. It is All New Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider by Stephanie Phillips and Paolo Villanelli. I meant to show the cover, not the inside page. I'm really enjoying this. I just think it's going too fast. This is number 3. And like the monster that is has kind of been hunting her is kind of revealed, dealt with, and then like changed all of a sudden in this book. It was just a little too fast. I would have liked like the fight with it and the reveal to be like the end of this book, and then like the change that the monster goes through in the next one, because it just all happens within 3 pages, and it's like, in my opinion, like a whole comic's worth of development. I like it. I just think it's going a little fast.
All right. I've got Undeadpool, which I don't read much Marvel. If I read Marvel, it's probably Deadpool related.
Yeah.
I know nothing about the Age of Revelation.
Hey, we've read Age of Revelation books, and we don't know anything about it.
I guess there's a dictator of some sort.
Sounds good to me.
I guess it's so something happened. There's a virus that turned people either into zombies or mutants. This team travels to become X-Men, and then Deadpool goes from being a zombie who is trapped in his own brain, like his body's on autopilot, but his brain is sharper than ever. Basically, as the Merc with the mouth, without the mouth, his body just kills and eats people. And then the end was great. He gets his brain back to his body. And him and this Daredevil type hero go. It's good. I like it. I think I'm gonna add it to my list because I'm curious to see. I like to see Zombie Deadpool. It's pretty sick.
So I did have this explained to me. It might have been by Cameron, but I think it was by the guy who owns our comic shop. All of these Age of or X of Revelation or whatever books, they're 3-part miniseries.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know how many books there were for this, and I figured it was going to be a short.
Yeah.
It wasn't me that said that.
I didn't know if it was you who told me or if it was our comic book guy, but
I knew that, but I don't think we've ever had that conversation.
Okay. I like small miniseries. That means I don't have to commit, and I can buy a few books, and then that's that. Because I like to, that's the problem, is when I start to collect something, I can't stop until it's done, which is why I've just got boxes of comics in my closet that I haven't read most of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
They built up pretty quickly. Not only in my closet, but if you look under my bed, I've got almost all of the last Buffy the Vampire Slayer run. I think some Doctor Who books down there. I pulled a whole bunch out to read them, and I didn't read them.
Yeah.
You've got time.
Yeah, I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Give them to your kids.
Tomorrow's never promised.
He has a point.
That's Cameron.
It is my turn. I am going to talk about the Rockefellers number 10. It's Halloween! Woo! And like the first half of the book is the family, the kids especially, are going trick-or-treating. It's very charming. Just very sweet and fun. And I loved it. And then the back half of the book, or probably the back 2/3, is the cybernetic ninja that's been trying to find them this whole time, who we know who it is, but I'm not saying. It finds them and is chasing them in modern day, or in 2025, as they're on the run. And it's just, it's really great. Francis Manapul's art is just unmatched.
I've seen a few stills of the book, people being like, this is great art.
It is. It's wonderful. I mean, I feel like Francis Manapul is probably one of my favorite comic artists ever. Just from back in the day on The Flash with Geoff Johns.
Mm-hmm.
Just does really great work. And this was just, it was wonderful. I had a great time. And I love the cover where there are all the different Ghost Machine properties.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
As the costumes.
Man, I would kill to do Rook cosplay. I couldn't. I need to lose like 100 pounds, but.
Yeah, and it's just very funny. Like the person that's chasing them is like walking through the crowd of all the Halloween people, and they're just like commenting to her. And they're like, you look super cool. And then she's like, thanks, so do you. Great undersuit lighting. It makes you look wicked in the dark. It's like, yes, that's the idea. Just like going through like not being mean, like being very kind to everyone.
Just because you're a ninja assassin doesn't mean you have to be
rude about it. They're like, do you take commissions? I'd love to order one for next Halloween. Not at this time, maybe soon.
Mm-hmm.
But just great. It was a great time.
My next book is Black Cat number 3.
You were joking about being heavy Marvel.
Yeah, I was heavy Marvel this week, which is not normal for me, but like basically all 3 Marvel books I read came out this week. It's by G. Willow Wilson and with art by Gleb Melnikov. Every week that I read this book, or every month that I've read this book, I've been like, yeah, I'll give that another one. And I think that with this one as well, I think they're kind of setting up the premise. This is kind of the third issue of setting up the premise where, like, she tries to do something good, but then another more established hero comes in and is like, you're not doing this good thing good enough. Like, you're not doing this good thing good enough. I'll finish it up for you. And then, like, basically takes the credit. And I think that kind of came to a head at the end of this book, where we'll see where it goes. But I think the setup is finally done. But I'm having enough fun with it that I'm never sad that I read it, but it's never been my best book. So we'll see if it can really, if it can get into a groove. I know that G. Willow Wilson's work on Poison Ivy is very acclaimed. And I'm hoping she can bring a lot of that to this.
All right. So my next book, Space Ghost number 4.
Oh, nice.
I like this run of Space Ghost. I liked it when I want to say DC a few years back was doing some stuff with the Hanna-Barbera, but Dynamite's doing pretty good with it. I thought it, so. This one, it was about two like warring species or shark people and like crystal people, and they were fighting. They and Space Ghost stopped it. They ended up going to like a peace summit, but Space Ghost was afraid something was going to stop it. And basically, hijinks, hell ensues. Someone does try to do a sniper job. It was very, I could see what they were talking about. It was definitely about current politics. You know, you can even see it in the blue and the red and everything that, you know, fake assassinations, each side yelling at each other. So I think it was good with a good message. I definitely recommend it. And this is the first one of the books of the Space Ghost books, I think, that's a two-parter. They didn't wrap up in one issue. So
nice. I never read the last issue because it did. I can never find it. But the Johnny Quest Space Ghost crossover.
They had it in my shop, but that doesn't help you.
No, it's kind of a long ways away from me.
Yeah, I mean, only 18 hours or so.
It's fine. Hop up there, get some wings while I'm there.
Right. Well, I'm in Ohio. You can get wings here, but they suck.
Okay. I forgot you weren't in Buffalo.
No. I moved out. I haven't lived there in 13 years.
So you've never been there as long as I've known you.
Right. I mean, I used to go there. Long story short, I was visiting there for a few years.
That's just
that's ended. So.
Well, in my mind, forever in Buffalo.
Well, I'm Buffalo in my heart. I can make you some wings.
Okay. That's where I'll get them. I'll get the good ones at Mike's house. If you're looking for good wings in Ohio.
Yeah, come to my house. I will air fry you some wings.
All right. Well, my last book, it's the other one. When I first got back into reading comics, I picked up Absolute Batman number 1 and this book number 1. And this is the last issue. And I'm very sad about it because it's just been incredible. I mean, it's Batman and Robin, year 1, number 12, the end of the year. And it's wonderful. Like, it's funny. It's like joyful, like triumphant, as all the plots and schemes have come to a head and Batman and Robin are like finishing it off. And it's just, I think I said it early on, but I think it's a definitive take on the start of Batman and Robin working together. And it's so good. And I really am just hoping there's some rumblings that people wanting there to be a Batman and Robin year 2. And it feels like that's kind of set up a little bit at the end of this one. And I would just love a continuation with Mark Waid and Chris Samnee working on this because it's been the two of them this whole 12-issue run. And I just love that they got to do it on their own terms and tell the story they wanted to tell. And it's just gorgeous all the way through.
Mark Waid is just killing it right now. He's constantly my best book as well.
I think I didn't make this one my best book because it's just been my best book so many times. And it still is. Just great. So I'm sure there will be a trade of this soon. Well worth checking out if you haven't picked up the issues.
Sounds great. Okay. My last book, and then we'll have Mike finish it off. I saw it. I didn't know it was coming out, but I know I had to get it. I invested 14 years of my life into it. So when I saw it, I had to. Supernatural number one. I was a big watcher of the show, by Greg Pak, with art by Eder Messias. Messias? Sure, why not?
Greg Pak wrote something I've read recently, but I don't remember. Oh, he did the D&D book.
Oh, nice. This is pretty good. It's a hunt in the first season of Supernatural, so you really don't need to watch anything but like the first episode to be caught up with what's going on in this book, which is kind of nice. The only thing about it that annoys me, and I know why they had to do it, but it still really bugged me, was that there was a lot of language like very expository language in mundane situations. Like, they're sitting at a diner and they're like, why are you staring off into space? Oh, I'm just thinking about my girlfriend who died in a blazing fire and was killed by that demon. It's like, okay. Like, for someone who like hasn't seen Supernatural as many times as I have, or like maybe saw the first season and is picking this up for some reason, like, you need those like kind of establishing like lines just so we know like where it is, what's going on, who the people are. But for me, it was just like, no one talks like that. What are you doing?
I'm going to now.
It's just like we in the first few pages of just like a talk in a diner, like, we've had discussions about their trauma with their dad, the trauma of losing his girlfriend. Like, it was just a lot. But other than that, I mean, it's a fun supernatural hunt with a fun little twist.
I've never watched Supernatural.
I haven't. I did watch it once. I don't think I got far.
I have seen every episode of Supernatural at least twice.
So many episodes.
Yeah. I watched it all, and then my friend Matt Miller wanted to watch it all with me.
Good old Matt Miller.
What'd you say?
That's a commitment.
Yep. So
I couldn't watch that with... I'm not watching that with a friend, because we'd have to see each other too much.
I will say, as just a Supernatural disclaimer, the first five seasons of Supernatural are so worth it. If you, before the end of the last episode of season five, if you just pause it before the last 30 seconds, you will have a complete experience that wraps up all loose ends and is like a complete story.
Five seasons sounds like it would be a good run for a show, period. But what, they went like 15, right?
14, yeah.
14?
Yeah. So it went 14 seasons. I always tell people, like, if you want to stop, you've got a perfect moment. Because, like, the original creators and directors and everything had a five-season plan. And they did it. They completed it. And then they, like, introduce a twist in the last 30 seconds of the last episode of season five. That's like, now what's happening next? But if you just want to watch five great seasons of television, Supernatural season 1 through 5.
And that was those were full seasons. Like, what?
Yeah, that's like 22 episodes.
Yeah, except for season 3, because of the writer's strike, I think it's only 12. Mm.
The early writer's strike, not the most recent one.
Right. Yeah.
The 2007?
That 2008. Hurt a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm. Heroes.
Heroes, The Office.
I feel like that
Friday short Night Lights season strong, 2. Though. What'd you say?
That short season of The Office is strong.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. A lot of good stuff. I think that's good. That good by Toby.
Season 3 of Supernatural, for what it's worth, is also very good. It's short, but they pack a lot into it.
Hero season 2
is terrible, but not as bad as seasons 3 and 4.
It was the beginning of the end.
Yeah,
which is sad because season 1 was so good.
Season 1 of Heroes is real good.
Season 1 of Heroes, it's a perfect season of television.
Season 1 of The Cape was real good, but they canceled that.
I remember we would get together and watch The Cape.
That was a good show, man.
And now when I think of The Cape, I just think of Community.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the episode where they just talk about The Cape.
Because they thought it was going to be six seasons of movie, and I don't disagree. Could have.
Yeah, Cameron.
Still waiting for a movie for Community.
It's been in development for how many years now? I feel like it's been a couple of years since they announced it. Nobody seems to be able to get together, and Dan Harmon is doing other things. So,
it's tough.
It'd be nice to get that before they're all way too old to be believable to be in community college.
Yeah, Chevy Chase pulled it off.
Yeah, but they all can't be Chevy.
They all hated Chevy Chase. So
I mean, Chevy Chase was not a good guy.
Still is.
Yeah, well, true, but
he's still alive.
He's old old. So my final book is
I forgot we were doing that.
Yeah. Creepshow issue 2, volume 4 issue 2. It's an anthology. It has a couple of stories in it. One is about a laboratory that they're working on, like understanding these ants in this ant colony and how they're like communicating with each other. And I guess they must be like, I don't know, they're checking them out, and the lady who's running it is telling them they can't go to sleep until they figure it out. And it's good, you know, they're double speak about how what's good for the colony is good for for everybody. And it's not about the individual. And eventually the ants just take over the people and kill her. It's a moral thing. And then the second one is about this dude who's the golfer. He has really good luck, and he's mean to a caddy and their dad, and then he gets cursed and loses all his luck and loses his money and his wife and his car. And then he gets his luck back after he has to either save or kill the one who cursed him, and he kills the kid instead of saving him. And then he finds out that his luck's not back because the person who really cursed him was the dad. And it's very good. It's, horror stories with a lesson.
With heart.
Yeah, the Creepshow, and that's how, Tales from the Crypt was like that. Like, there's lessons and things. Don't be a dick.
That's the main lesson.
Or you'll get cursed.
Just be cool.
Even if there's no cursing involved, you just shouldn't.
Yeah. But just in case.
There might be, though.
There might be a curse.
There might be.
Well, if we ever have a break, this is where it will go.
There it was.
Yeah, it was lovely.
That was a good break.
Mike, tell us where you're at. What you're doing.
Right now, we're just doing Book It. Book It, a wrestling podcast. You can find that at t13media.com. You can just search, it's the letter T, the number 1, 3 spelled out, media.com. You can't find me personally because I don't interact with people on the internet.
It's probably smart.
Yeah. So, but you can still listen to Book It, Book It, a wrestling podcast. You can find that on, should be all your platforms. Right now we're in season 5, Book It Verse 5, which is all of our, we basically write out a novel's worth of wrestling and then speak it at each other, and then we rate each other and tell each other how much we like or dislike each other, and it's pretty great. We judge our friends and then tell them that that's okay that they got a bad score because we're all friends.
And isn't that what matters at the end?
And that's what matters, being judged by your friends.
I mean, if I'm going to be judged by anyone, it's my friends.
Yeah. Well,
except for Chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, Book It.
Book It. I love it.
They don't know this yet, but in the works is another podcast. It's going to be a TGIF podcast.
Oh, nice. We thought about doing one of those.
Yeah. I've got a great name. I looked it up. Nobody's using it, and I'm surprised. So I'll tell you off air. I don't want anybody to take it.
Nice. I had a good name worked up, too. So maybe it's the same name.
Maybe it's the same one.
I can't say it.
There's a good chance that you probably said it years ago on air, and then I heard it, and then it came just, back to my brain.
It's in your brain. I don't know if I ever said it. We'll talk.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Doing a show review podcast, I still think back on it as one of the strangest things I've ever done. Because, I've almost just ruined that show for me.
I want to say I love Pod Meets World, but they're acting like there was no other Boy Meets World recap shows other than them and Bra Meets World. And I'm like, you know what? That's a lie because I was on all the other ones. Yes. Thank you very much.
All of them,
except for Feeny Call, which I didn't like that show as much. But
we won't tell. I doubt they listen.
Feeny Call, come on the show.
I've been really struggling with Pod Meets World.
I like them. I do. I like them. I like.
I like them sometimes.
Ryder's definitely pretentious. I like Will. Will keeps me in. That's about it.
I mean, I still every time they actually cover an episode, which is rare these days.
Well, they're stretching it. They're making that last season stretch.
Gotta get their bag, you know.
I mean, I like the last three they did about the TGIF Halloween show.
See, I didn't even watch those. I've just been waiting for them to start season 7. But I really did like. I've thought several times about shows that I want to watch while I'm like working or something. And the other day, I was thinking about how sad I am that Boy Meets World just isn't in that. Like, it's never a like. Maybe I should watch Boy Meets World.
Yeah,
and it's like we still have two episodes of that show we've never made.
Yeah, we do.
I think there's three episodes we never made.
The worst episode tournament you never did.
We never did. We never did best episode tournament, and we never did our episode where we were just gonna explain the lore.
Yeah, the timeline. At this point,
that involves us like watching the whole thing again.
Well, we I still have it memorized pretty well. So watch it. I still put it on. It's still one of my favorite.
But do you remember all the like real deep true stuff about like the hell universes?
Yeah. There's all that.
The time traveling.
Now that you mention it, yeah. Because there's the judge, the hell judge that was really
the waitress in Pottstown.
Yeah, you know that's a real place. There's also been murders. There was a murder there. I just listened to a small town murder on that. I mean,
it is a hell dimension. It makes sense.
I mean, there's no cupcake parades, so
that's too bad.
Yeah, sprinkle parades.
The sprinkles, they are beautiful.
But yes, we do. We need to do it one of these days. We had planned even beforehand of just like getting together with junk food and doing like a 3-day marathon.
It's just difficult you know, families and
it's really because you had a baby.
I did have a baby, and that put the brakes on a lot of things.
I didn't know you had a baby. Did you ever?
I mean, it was like over a year ago at this point. Oh,
I don't know. I don't know who has kids anymore. Well, I know I got one. That's about all I'm concerned with.
Mine's
an adult almost now.
Mine's about to turn 9, and his are 10 and 8. And we could have just like had them have a sleepover one night. And you and I just watch Boy Meets World.
They could watch it with us, heck.
Yeah, but now you've got one that's like completely dependent on you.
Yeah. Jesus, Cameron, just, you know.
What can you say?
I
ruin everything.
Right?
Kids, man.
Bring them all to Ohio. Let my 15-year-old watch them. We can all binge.
My 9-year-old would not stop. Ohio. Yeah.
It's all right. I did that for the first year.
It would never, it would just be the end of my life.
I have a great love for the Great Lakes. So Ohio is not out of the question for me.
I think I've only been on Lake Erie. That's it. That's the only Great Lake I've been to. And I've been to it in 2 different states and 2 different countries.
Nice. I tend to vacation in like Michigan and Chicago and stuff. So,
nice.
He just summers in Michigan.
Oh, you know,
the economy.
The economy, yes.
Yeah, the economy of Michigan's doing great. It's
That's when my wife's like, "Where should we go?" I'm like, "To the Great Lakes, of course."
The lakes call
your
me.
Beach house.
They do. They do call me.
The summer house in Michigan.
All right. Well, should we do Uncle's one more thing?
Oh, was that it? I didn't know if we had any more.
I figured the B segment would just be talking to Mike about stuff.
Yeah. Just riffing.
Sounds good.
I like it.
For those of you who are wondering, perhaps, just because this is a nerd culture podcast, I have never seen Chainsaw Man. So I know the movie is doing really well. It's supposedly pretty amazing. I have seen the first 2 episodes of Chainsaw Man in my life. They are unbelievably sad. for a show about a puppy who merges with a man's heart and gives him chainsaw powers, the undercurrent of what's going on is unbelievably tragic about how people in power, like, use their power against other people.
They do?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I have never watched any more Chainsaw Man. I'm not opposed to it. Maybe someday. But,
gotcha. And so while we're on the topic of nerd culture, I don't know if either of you have done much watching of The Simpsons in your life.
Yes.
But The Simpsons is in Fortnite right now. They're doing like a mini season. And the whole map is just Springfield. The servers were super crashing hard today. So it just got back up right before we started. But I'm ready to dive into that. They added pets where you can have a pet.
Yeah, but aren't the pets like really dumb or something?
The pets are dumb?
Yeah. So all I've heard is like they're really expensive.
I mean, they literally just the first one was released today and it was included in the battle pass.
Okay.
I don't play
Fortnite. Maybe what I heard was wrong.
I don't play Fortnite. So as much as I'd love to go run around Springfield, I'll just have to do it and hit and run.
I'm not
going to play Fortnite. I'm too old for this.
We're a Fortnite household. But I have a pet now. He's a dog who's a banana.
Yeah, Peels, right?
That's what his name is, but you can give him a name. There's a lot of pressure on me specifically because when you get it, they're like, before you can equip him, you have to customize it. And so it's a banana, so you can make him be like yellow, or you can make him be like a little bit green, like a not quite right banana, or you can have brown spots, like he's a little overripe. Like, so that's mine.
He's perfect for banana bread.
He's overripe. He's also chunky because you can make him be chunky. But I named him Cavendish, which is a species of banana.
Okay.
I think it's the most common one that we usually eat is a Cavendish banana. But I think it's a good dog name.
Sometimes Cameron gets nerd culture mixed up with just Gen Z culture.
Simpsons isn't Gen Z.
No, Fortnite is.
That would be Gen X. Yeah, Fortnite is. But that's fine. I mean, people do that. I don't do that. I don't play very many video games these days. I just don't have the time or the patience anymore. Like, you know what I have with video games is the selection. When there's too many selections,
mm-hmm.
too many options, and so I just scroll and then I choose nothing, mm-hmm. and then that's it.
I pretty much have to dedicate myself to only ever opening one game at a time, or I'll never finish.
I try that, but then I'm like, well, maybe I could play a different game, or I'll get close to finishing, but I'm so tired of this game that I need something new, and then I don't come back to it. I think I am playing Batman Arkham Origins. I think that's what I've been trying to chug through. It's real repetitive. I don't remember these games being this repetitive, but it's just the same thing over and over. Go into room, fight. Go into next room, fight. Go into another room.
I remember Origins wasn't my favorite of the Arkham games.
No, but I have to finish it because I'm trying to do them in order.
See, I didn't play that one.
Chronological order.
I've played all the other three, and I beat the first two, but I never beat Arkham Knight.
I never did either.
Arkham Knight was the last one, right? I played that one because I got to use the different skins. So, like, I like just running around in the all the different skins. That was fun. So you can get different skins. I have a bunch of different skins on Arkham Origins, but you can only do them in a second replay or in, like, a specific mode. And I'm like, well, that's stupid.
Seems like you would enjoy Fortnite and all of its wonderful skins.
Nah, I don't like I don't like playing things. I'm a single player. Like, I only play single player games. I don't play games with other people. I'm done with that. I just don't do it. I don't see the point. I like to pause my game.
That's fair. Well, after those nerd culture updates, should we now we can do Uncles one more thing?
Yes.
Uncles one more thing.
I guess I'm first.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
How the cookie crumbles.
I guess my uncles one more thing will bring us to the only segment that has maybe gone through all of our shows, the Limit Break. I'm very much into Final Fantasy right now. Final Fantasy's back in my life. I'm even considering trying to get into 15 again.
Oh, wow. That's serious.
Yeah. I'm almost done with Final Fantasy Tactics, the Evil East Chronicles. I'm very much enjoying it. I've been through all of the big difficulty spikes. Even though I have him and I want to use him desperately, he just makes the game too easy, so I'm not using Sid.
TG Sid.
What?
TG Sid.
Yeah, he's just too good. He's too powerful. But I want, but my heart is like, but I could just win.
Why don't you want to win, Chance?
So I'm very much into it. I've been texting Cameron. I've been getting into the Final Fantasy trading card game a little bit, which I thought was like a dead trading card game, but it turns out that it's not. They just only have two, instead of like all the other trading card games that have like small releases every few months, they just do two big boxes a year, which I do, which is kind of a pace I can get behind. I'm learning how to play. Got a couple decks. Cameron's going to come over next week, and we're going to learn how to play together. Just deep into the Final Fantasy grind right now.
I was there earlier this year when I played through all the first six.
It's true. You were.
They were great.
I've beaten all the first six, but maybe I'll go back. Probably not. I can beat 4, 5, and 6 again.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. Well, 2, I think 2 is special. 2 has a special place in my heart.
I do. That's the one with, what's his name, right?
Yeah, what's his name?
And what's her name?
Firion and Firion. Guy and Maria.
Usually there's a Cid in there.
There was a Cid. That was the first Cid.
I was thinking of Firion. I can play 2.
It's really not very long.
No, it's not.
None of them really are, which is nice. Yeah, nice. Just enjoying Final Fantasy.
Yes. Mike, what are you enjoying?
Honestly, and I don't know if I'm actually enjoying it or not, but I've been binging. I needed something nostalgic that... Hold on. I needed something 90s nostalgic, and I've been watching sitcoms. I love sitcoms. Sitcoms my favorite genre of TV. Multicam. I've never watched Friends, so I said, screw it. Let's watch Friends. I don't know if I'm enjoying it or not. But I'm watching it.
I like Friends. I think Friends is fun.
I like comfort shows. It could be a comfort show. It still gives me that, even though I've never fully watched it. Like, I've watched it here and there, but I never watched all of it.
Mm-hmm. Where are you?
Season 2. Like, oh, okay. Probably close to midway. It's, you know, the whole Ross Rachel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that...
It doesn't get any simpler.
Oh, well. I know for the most part they get together, break up, they're on a break, and then I guess get back together. She gets pregnant at some point. That's later. Yeah. I'm not worried about spoilers with Friends. I'm well up with most of the lore. It does have some funny jokes. I'll give it that. There was one that actually had me laughing out loud. There was a bit that they were doing. I forgot what it was, but I liked it.
It's funny.
It gives me that 90s nostalgia, it gives me the comfort, and it's you know, a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
I
enjoy Friends. It's good. I don't know. I've never loved it either. I didn't really watch it when it was coming out, so I getcha.
I mean, it was always, so like, I've watched a good amount of it when it was on when I was younger, because it was always on like reruns. Mm-hmm. So like TBS, I think, had it on all the time.
Yeah, all the time on TBS.
All the time. So like it was always on, but I was so young, like I didn't pay attention to it. Now I'm an adult, and you know I have memory issues, so it didn't matter how much I watched it back then.
It's like a new episode every time.
It is like watching it brand new, and I love when I do that. When I like something, but I haven't watched it in a while. And then I watch it again. I'm like, it's like I've never seen this before.
Honestly, not to bring this back to my thing.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? Fantasy
Tactics, the Evil East Chronicles, it being voiced really is a game changer. Like, I'm picking up on a lot of nuance never did before.
It's fun to revisit things. Well, I'll just keep the trifecta of revisiting things. Because I really wasn't sure what I was going to talk about. Because I haven't done anything that I haven't just been doing. It's just been really busy. I'm sure you guys can relate. But tonight, every Friday night is usually like pizza night, and we'll watch like maybe a movie or a show with my kids. But yesterday being Halloween, we didn't do that because we were doing Halloween things. So tonight we did, and we couldn't decide what to watch. And for some reason, we started watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Hell yeah.
And my son just watched that.
It was just, I haven't thought about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in like 30 years.
I think about it more often than I probably should.
But it's just so good. And it just feels like this look back to I'll go ahead and just say better, like a better time of making movies, where it's like, it's all just practical effects. And like
well, most of it.
Well, I guess the B is like a stop motion. There's some like stop motion stuff in there too, but it's like, it's not like, and here's all my computer, everything. And we're on a green screen. It's like, we built the backyard.
Yeah. They built a giant ant.
Uh-huh. And it's just like, it feels really cool. Like my oldest son was kind of having a bad attitude. He's like, I don't want to watch this. This seems dumb. And then we start watching and he's just like glued in. And my wife texts me from across the room. She's just like, seems like we got some people really into this. We didn't finish it because that's just the nature of movie pizza and a movie night.
Skip Honey, We Blew Up the Kid.
Yeah.
You can go right to Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
That's the one I remember watching a lot as a kid.
Oh, I watched that one a lot.
But also like took me back because I remember when I was in kindergarten, we went to Disney World. It's the only time I've ever been to Disney World. But this was huge at Disney World at that time. It's like they had a whole Honey, I Shrunk the Kids like area. Yeah. And like their 4D movie was Honey, We Shrunk the Audience.
I've never gone to anything.
And it was just like really cool. I'm going to try to see if I can find pictures from it. And I'll share them with you guys because it was just cool. And I just feel like Rick Moranis is in it.
Rick Moranis is Canadian national treasure.
Just like a legend.
Come on the show.
Please do. Just like the fact of like, and we were like looking up his story and like his wife died of breast cancer. And so he had young kids and he's like, I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah,
I'm going to take care of my kids.
He did. I want to say he did. He was doing movies a little bit after she passed and then decided.
He's just like, I'm going to be in my kids' lives.
Yeah, he's doing something now. He's back to it. He's doing Spaceballs. He's doing
Spaceballs, but he's just been more selective.
I like Spaceballs, so I'm here for it.
He's just very, just seems like a good guy. But yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is just really cool. It feels very like late 80s.
It was 90, right?
It was 89. But it's just a fun movie.
Okay. I was recently listening to a podcast. I was looking when I was getting into anime. I was looking for a podcast that talked about anime just to have something to play.
I don't think there are any of those.
There are a lot of good ones, but I found one. It's these two guys, and they're kind of like D-bag dude bros, but I kind of like that about them. But recently, one of them watched Mrs. Doubtfire, and I just highly encourage anyone to like Google Otaku's Anonymous Mrs. Doubtfire and listen to this Gen Z dude bros take on Mrs. Doubtfire, because it had me rolling on the floor laughing listening to him talk about Mrs. Doubtfire.
Pierce Brosnan was not a bad guy in that, and Robin Williams was, his character was the bad guy. He was absolutely the bad guy.
He was a psychopath.
Uh-huh. It's a good movie. We watched that one recently with my kids too.
All he had to do was not,
you should really watch,
not be a deadbeat dad. Instead, he decided to be more of a deadbeat dad.
but a great nanny?
I mean, kinda.
And it brought us Tobias Funke doing Mrs. Featherbottom in Arrested Development. So we can thank it for true. That.
I suppose so. But it was just so funny to hear this Gen Z guy talk about Mrs. Doubtfire. And I laughed real hard. That's all.
And I think that's all. Dear listener, do you have thoughts on Mrs. Doubtfire or any of the other things that we've talked about this evening or day when you're listening? We're recording in the evening.
It's almost morning here.
It's deep night, but it is daylight saving. So it's kind of like,
Oh, that does happen tonight, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad I said something.
Hell yeah.
I mean, your phone does it automatically, so who even cares?
I'm going to stay up anyways, but I get that extra hour of sleep.
Yeah, you're welcome. We planned it this way. But thanks for listening. If you have any thoughts, you can reach out to us at hotcomicpools@gmail.com or send us a message over on Blue Sky at comicspalooza.bsky.social. We'd love to hear from you. It'd be really cool. Just let us know.
I do want to say to Majin Silva, I know you said you're the third host of the show through the I'm sorry to tell you. That's me, my guy. But come on the show.
Come on the show. You guys can fight it out.
You are in physical, he is in spirit.
That's true. There was a few times where I tried to send you guys stuff on Blue Sky. I realized I was Blue Skying wrong. So, you know.
I do that often. I get it.
So, you know, I don't use Blue Sky.
You did it wrong.
He was so much better at social media than I am. It's kind of ridiculous.
I'm real bad at it. I was good at it in MySpace times.
Those were wild times.
Those were great. That was the best time as far as trying to get promotion, because you just add a bunch of people and then people started listening to your music pages. It was great.
Yeah. Now Facebook, stupid.
You had to pay so much money to get anybody to notice anything on Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook, don't come on the show.
No. Mark Zuckerberg, actually do, and we're going to just let you have it.
We're
just going to let you have it. But yeah, so you can reach out to us though. Yeah, maybe Facebook don't come on the show. I'm just not ready for the commitment.
No.
I think though we're at the end. So I do want to thank you for listening, for sticking with us through this journey. Coming back week after week, maybe. I don't have exactly those analytics to know if it's the same people coming back. But
you
I think
can imagine, right?
I think it is. I'm going to choose to believe that it's the same people that have been with us for a year now. So thanks for doing that. But I think we're just going to say bye at this point. And you can find us next week at the same turtle time and the same bat channel.